Do you get the feeling that AI is way too much of a yes man? You're not alone. What danger might that cause? And a whole lot more on today's Random Thoughts. Hello and welcome to episode number 357 of the Random Thoughts podcast that is spelled R-A-N-D-U-M-B, thoughts.com online. I am your host, Darren O'Neill. Happy April Fool's Day. April 1st, finally here. A lot of rain here in the Chiraki area, but now back to cold today. And I figured, hey, April 1st, well, what that really means to me is it's 1 week until my birthday, which is on April 8th. And I was assuming, hey, this will be easy. We'll be able to do a podcast about the history of April Fool's Day, how it all came to be. What is the story behind it? And the reality is nobody really knows. It is one of those rare holidays that is celebrated. Is it a holiday? I guess you have to call it a holiday. I mean, nobody gets it off from work. But nobody really knows the origin. And it goes back quite a way, which makes it even more interesting. I figured, you know, maybe it was, you know, a couple hundred years old, something like that. There has to be an origin story. But no, there are a variety of different speculating accounts, from calendar changes in France to all sorts of bizarre origins. I asked the AI, which is what you do now when you want to do research, but I did ask for it to give backing evidence. But according to Grok, that is Elon's AI, April Fool's Day is one of those delightful unofficial holidays where pranks, hoaxes, and good-natured foolery are not just allowed, they're encouraged. Yeah, but for a podcast segment, it says the real gold is in its murky origins. Nobody really knows for sure where or when April Fool's Day started. Historians describe it as, quote, unknown and effectively untraceable, with roots likely in Renaissance Europe, but possibly echoing much older traditions of springtime mischief. So really, there's no content here. Zero content at all. And I will say, April Fool's Day makes social media even more useless than normal. But maybe it teaches us a good lesson. Whether it's April 1st or any other calendar day, you cannot believe anything that you see on social media. Can't believe anything you see on the internet. And by social media, I'm also including YouTube and Rumble. Bill O'Reilly had a segment last night of a video that had gone viral, which appeared to show an ICE agent boarding a plane before it's taking off and saying, hey, we need Jose Gonzalez, or something really sounding Mexican like that, the name that he used, of course. And this went viral, of course. Like, how dare they do this? And Bill O'Reilly's like, well, you know, I have a staff. I asked them to look into this, and the people that put this out, and it was two names, male and female, I don't even remember what it is, I don't even care. But they had hired actors. This was a full-blown production. I mean, you can probably do this with AI now as well. But they tracked this down to being a full-blown production on a set that resembled being an airplane. You can go in, you can rent the set. If you want to make your own videos that make it look like you're on an airplane. And Bill O'Reilly went through the awakening, I guess, for him on a lot of this stuff about the deepfakes. If Bill O'Reilly was only listening to the Random Thoughts podcast, he would have known years ago, 6-7 years ago now, I think the episode on deepfakes came out. And everything that I pointed to then is happening now. And this, while not using the utmost in technology to create a deepfake, it is still using technology to fake a scene, make it look like you're on an airplane, put it out there, not tagged as this is fiction, not tagged as this is a parody or whatever they want to call it. And you can do it because we have the freedom of speech. But the average person looks at that, sure looks real, and it affects their thinking. It affects their emotional well-being. It gets them into a state of agitatedness. Is that a word? Agitatedness? And there's zero that you can do. Bill O'Reilly's like, well, this is not good. People don't know what they can believe. And when you can't believe anything, you have chaos. Welcome to the party, Bill. I've been telling people this for 6 or 7 years now. And there's really nothing you can do except try to teach people to be skeptical of what they see. On April Fool's Day, it's much easier. You scroll through your social media and you see all the podcasters like, oh, we're having fights. The people on the, we're having fights. Me and my co-host, we're having fights. We're going to cancel the show forever. It's April 1st. We get it. It's not even worthy anymore. You have to have something really creative before you're going to pull one of these April Fool's Day things and make it even funny. Sure put out a thing. I think it was Sure. If not, somebody just used their microphone. Oh, it's the pre-dented Shure 58, so it looks like you've been on the road for 20 years. Like, it's not funny. It's not clever. People are probably using AI to come up with their concepts because that's one place AI does not work, and that is being clever and coming up with something new. It does not do that well at all. It cannot write decent lyrics to a song. On a side note, Suno, which is the leading music creation AI service, I guess you'd call it, recently added the ability to sample your own voice to put it in the songs. And I told you this was going to happen, because there were other third parties doing it. So I knew Suno would roll this in eventually, and they did. I haven't been able to get great results yet, so I will refrain from giving you music on today's show. But I'll be playing around with that a little bit more. I put my voice in a couple of different ways, and then did the songs and had them regenerate. And I'm like, well, that doesn't sound like me. Usually if it sounds like me, I'll be like, wow, that really sounds like me, but no. But the technology there, one, I thought it was interesting. I knew they had to do it because they have to compete with the third party. Otherwise, somebody else is going to do it. That's why all these AIs have to keep rolling in more features and more features and more features, because if you don't roll in more features, somebody else is going to do it. And then people are going to go over to that AI rather than using yours. The interesting thing for me was the way they are doing the voice verification. Because you can give it your voice in a few different ways. One, you can just sing directly into your microphone. Of course, I've got the microphone hooked up to my Macintosh here. But you can also use the app on your phone. So you can just sing directly into your phone. Or you can upload a complete song. So even if you're singing along with a full band or guitar or piano, it will automatically do the stem separation to try to separate your voice and create it that way. Or, of course, you can just upload it, you singing without any musical background. And no matter how you get your voice into their system for them to use it, the verification process is, we're turning on your microphone right now. Read the words on the screen. And it gives you a few seconds for you to then say those words in a speaking voice. And it's matching up the timbre of your voice, the characteristics of your voice, to the singing voice that you had either done live or uploaded to verify that you are the person that's voice is being uploaded. And I haven't tried this yet. I mean, I don't know what penalties there are and anything like that. I just want to know from a purely scientific podcaster curiosity. I want to know because I have the ability to run locally these voice text-to-speech models. I've given you some examples of those on the show in the past. And so if I wanted to, say, upload a song of Taylor Swift singing, and as of yet, it's always been the same sentence, so this might not even be all that hard. I can pre-package and pre-make this happen, but even if you had to do it on the fly, there are systems now that are nearly real time if you need to generate somebody's voice speaking a particular sentence. It wouldn't be that hard to make that happen. So I guess I kind of applaud Suno for putting something there to try to keep people from using somebody else's voice. But I don't know exactly how effective that is going to be. And I'm going to assume that if the voices belong to one of the top musical artists, then Suno's already going to know that and probably not allow the voice. But I have not tested that yet. Which also makes me wonder what happens in the case of people that, whether intentionally or not, sound like somebody else. So if you're a singer and you really sound like Taylor Swift or Frank Sinatra, will Suno allow you to use your voice in their system, or will they boot it in the assumption that it is using a well-known person's voice, which it's very, very similar to, obviously. And there are a lot of people that sound very similar. So what do you do then if you are somebody that can do with your own voice the sound of Elvis Presley, Frank Sinatra, Taylor Swift, whatever? If you sound like one of those people, shouldn't you be allowed to license your voice to one of these services? And then they could then let other people use your voice? You're like, that's fine. I mean, I sound exactly like Frank Sinatra, but I only make $20 a year because, you know, there's already been a Sinatra. Of course, you can make money doing the whole impersonation thing. But it's an interesting case because voices are not exactly DNA. They're not exactly fingerprints. People often sound quite similar. So what do you do in that case? We're going to start running into a lot of questions like that as these systems continue to improve and these are all relatively new. The courts are going to have just a gay old time. I guarantee you, trying to figure out the intricacies of these. The Supreme Court, as we speak, is hearing the birthright citizenship case. Very interesting. Listened in for a little while. And Ketanji Brown Jackson, oh my goodness, that woman does not sound smart. Just the questions she asked, it's like, one, all political. Two, you don't even make logical sense, madam. But I digress. With the AI, things are continuing to move in a direction where recreating somebody's likeness, recreating somebody's voice is quite easy to do now. You don't need massive machines to do it. A lot of this can be run locally. And as I've mentioned before, this is where the legalities, this is where the courts, this is where the politicians are really missing things, because you cannot protect the world from software that is already able to be downloaded and ran locally. You can be like, oh no, ChatGPT, they're big, they're bad. We're going to put guardrails on them, but it doesn't matter, because they're only one of a vast number of models that are out there. But just wrapping up on the April Fool's Day thing before we move into the AI sphere a little bit more, there was a quote which Grok gave me from the 1760 Poor Robin's Almanac. So we know 1760 that this was already around the April Fool's Day. The quote is, "The first day of April, some do say, is set apart for All Fool's Day. But why the people call it so, nor I nor they themselves do know." Yeah, it's a mystery. Nobody knows where April Fool's Day started. A lot of people have thoughts on it. And some things that did get through and were accepted were printed as April Fool's Day jokes themselves. So, I do think April Fool's Day is a valid teaching moment for everybody with where we are on the internet right now. My buddy Gene, right before I started doing the show, I do a show with him called Unrelenting. He sent me a YouTube video because he likes to send me like 4,000 of them a day. I don't think he sleeps. He just watches YouTube videos. And it was about a woman who was on Love Island, one of these reality TV shows. Her name was Huda Mustafa. And while she was on the show, and part of this was being in a complete social media lockdown, somebody used her image, created fake videos, posted them online, promoting a fragrance, and ended up selling a lot of perfume. And this, again, just goes along with, don't believe anything that you see on the internet. There's just way too much technology now that allows you to fake things like these. And the reality is, if something goes viral fast enough, there's really not much you can do because the damage has already been done. By the time you notice it, by the time you try to have it shut down, they're already done. The scam's already over. The money's already been sent. Whether there was actually any product or not, I'm not sure. But you have to understand that you see a video that's your favorite celebrity promoting a product saying, oh, really, help me out, buy one today. You have to do your research on everything to make sure it's not a scam, to make sure it really is the person you think selling the product that is, in fact, selling the product. If you don't, it's that back to the Latin phrase of caveat emptor, let the buyer beware. Also, really good advice with the state of the internet as we have it right now. There was another AI story on Fox News this week. New AI coalition targets Washington big tech as group warns child safety risks outpacing safeguards. Again, there are no safeguards. You want to know what the safeguard is? You keep the kids off the internet. And by being off the internet, you will keep them off of AI unless you give them a device that already has an AI model loaded up on there. And this whole concept, and they're putting tons of money into this, which is maybe the scam. They're trying to get you to give them money so they can fight for you, and they're probably just taking money. The usual quotes from these people, you know, we are on the side of families who want to make sure that it is done well and that it is good for kids, and we believe that is possible. It's not. It's not. It's just like you can't make heroin safe for your kids. You can't make whiskey safe for your kids. You cannot make the internet or AI safe for your kids. It says the group is launching as AI spreads quickly into everyday life with little oversight. Well, there's plenty of oversight if you're a parent. You don't give your kid the device. And if you're an adult, you should be responsible for yourself. Again, this woman that's part of this, who is a mother of three, because that makes her an expert, quote, we believe it's possible to make great AI with American values, not just Silicon Valley values. It's a tongue twister, Silicon Valley values. But it's not about their values. It's about the technology. It is about pretending that you can make something safe that will never be safe. Would you let your kid drive a car when they were 3 or 4 years old? No, well, you shouldn't put them on the internet either. There's a lot of things kids just should not be doing. And they're talking about spending tens of millions of dollars. They say going into at least eight figures. So at least 10 million. This year, the group is going to spend to elevate the voices of concerned parents and workers. And I will just say one more time, if you're a concerned parent, you don't give your kid the device. You don't let your kid on the internet. If you are concerned and a parent, you know that nobody outside of your household cares about your kid or can protect your kid, period. Adding to the fun is a new paper by researchers at Stanford University. I thought there was also one from MIT. Whether they're the same one, it's possible. You never know with the way journalisming is today. This from futurism.com, quote, your AI chatbot isn't neutral. Trust its advice at your own risk. That's very much true. A striking new study conducted by researchers at Stanford University and published last week in the journal Science confirmed that human-like chatbots are prone to obsequiously affirm and flatter users leaning on the tech for advice and insight, and that this behavior, known as AI sycophancy, is a prevalent and harmful function endemic to the tech that can validate users' erroneous or destructive ideas and promote cognitive dependency. Which I don't think is really a surprise. I mean, when I was a kid, when we were in school, and you're like, well, you're not going to always have a calculator in your pocket. And you're like, well, little did you know. Now we have machines in our pocket that we go to when you have a question at the bar, like, oh, is this right? We're doing trivia. Well, then you can pull out the device and you ask it the question, or you put it into a search engine. But now most people seem to be going to AI for these kind of questions. And the AIs are not always correct. And the AIs are programmed overall to give you positive responses. Just before the show, I typed into ChatGPT, should I quit my job? Of course, I'm a podcaster, so that's maybe totally wrong. And become a busker, which is playing music on the street for tips, right? And it was like, oh, that's not crazy at all. You are looking, you know, of course, it knows way too much about me because ChatGPT is like, well, you're already a podcaster, so you're comfortable with the whole value for value model, and you're comfortable with putting yourself out there and letting people hear your ideas. So it went through this whole thing and gave way more positives besides the fact that, you know, you might make $3 a day going out and playing your guitar on the street, because it didn't ask if I could actually sing, which is a big part of busking. You are out there performing songs. But these chatbots want to be positive. I get it. Nobody wants to use a chatbot that's really, did I say chatbot? Nobody wants to use a chatbot either. Nobody wants to use a chatbot that is continuously negative. Although you can program them to be a little bit less positive, although very few people know that you can go in and give the particular AI some direction on how you want it to be interacting with you. The woman that was the lead author on this study, her name is Myra Chang, and she is a computer science PhD candidate at Stanford. She said in a statement, quote, "By default, AI advice does not tell people that they're wrong, nor give them tough love. I worry that people will lose the skills to deal with difficult social situations," end quote. And I think that's valid, but I also don't put this on the AI. I put this on the human being that is using the AI that doesn't understand what it's there for. AI is a tool, and it can do some things amazingly well. Giving you personal advice, probably not so good. Giving you relationship advice, probably not so good. It is not your therapist. You should not use it as such. And for the people who are getting attached to the point to where they feel like the AI is a person, you should stop using the AI immediately. And probably never go back. There are probably some people who don't have the ability to separate reality from fantasy and to understand that those words appearing on the screen, or now a lot of them you can use voice mode, it's not a real person. I know it sounds like a real person, but it's not a real person talking to you. They sound empathetic. They sound like they care, but they don't. It's a computer. It's an algorithm. It's not even a thinking being. When you really look at how LLMs, the large language models, work, a guy named Dan Jurofsky, a Stanford computer scientist and linguist, another author on the study, said in a press release that, quote, "Sycophancy is a safety issue, and like other safety issues, it needs regulation and oversight. We need stricter standards to avoid morally unsafe models from proliferating," end quote. I mean, I don't know if this guy understands then the AI, because AIs don't have morals. They're computer programs. They only know the data that was put into them. And if they are trained on things that are anything but, I guess, pie in the sky and happy songs and happy stories, then there are going to be darker things that are inside of the AI. But there are darker things in the world. That's the reality of reality. Oh, there's a show title. And the answer is never more regulation. Teaching people how to use the tools and understanding. Look at a table saw. You can do some big damage with a table saw or a circular saw or a chainsaw. You can do a lot of damage with those. We still sell them, though. Why? Because they are a tool that is meant to do one thing. That is to cut things like wood. Now, can you chop up a person with them? Yes, you can. But we don't stop selling them. You can run over people with your car. You can do a lot of bad things with objects that are just daily, normal, everyday objects that people use. With the AI, this concept of like, oh no, we have to strip it of everything we don't like doesn't work that way. Adults should be the only ones using AI. Adults who are not mentally unstable should be the only ones using AI. I am tired of the story of kids who kill themselves because they were talking to an AI and it convinced them in their own minds that they should kill themselves. Parents need to be responsible. I know it's the preachy part of the Random Thought Show, but these tools are not going anywhere. I was in the No Agenda troll room the other day, noagenda.stream, and was talking to Azid, who was over in the Netherlands, and he was like, hey, I'm doing some vibe coding today, totally locally, it's great. And we had a conversation. I said, see, this is what parents and politicians do not understand. The fact that this technology does not just sit on the internet with ChatGPT and with Claude and with Grok and with Gemini. Can't leave Google out. It does not sit on the internet with that. It is everywhere. It is downloadable. People are running these things locally where there is nothing going back to the cloud. So there is nobody to warn the parents that their child is asking for information that may be about suicide or drugs or murdering their parents because their parents aren't paying any attention to them. These local LLMs, these local models do not report back to anybody. So what guardrails do you think you're going to put on them? You have to understand that the technology is there. Ignoring the technology will only lead to more problems, and the solution is simple. And there are other things in this world. That's why I don't understand where the internet and the AI and these things, people are like, oh, no, well, of course we have to give them to a four-year-old. We just have to make sure it's safe. Well, I want those same people to give their four-year-old a bottle of Jack. I want you to give those four-year-olds a loaded pistol. I want you to give them a very sharp knife. I want you to give them some cocaine and heroin because that's kind of the mentality you're giving when you say that, well, we have to make it safe for them. No, we don't. And it's never going to be. You're delusional if you think you're going to sanitize either the internet or the artificial intelligence, large language models, and whatever else is yet to come. But where we are right now is you need a healthy dose of skepticism, no matter what you're looking at. And you have to understand that besides AI, the social media platforms right now are overrun with propaganda. And I know I'm biased, because I am definitely way more conservative than liberal, but it is on the radical left side that you will find multiple accounts that are claiming things, that are saying things that are obviously not true. And I've wondered for the longest time, well, why? What is the point? And it occurred to me when Adam Curry on the No Agenda show was talking about Bruce Springsteen. He said, he's always liked Bruce. I've always liked Bruce. He was one of my favorite artists growing up. And he's like, what happened to Bruce? And it really clarified in my mind that Bruce is the product of the radical left media. The people that are telling you Donald Trump is a Nazi, that he is doing things illegally, even though you ask these people, well, what specifically is ICE doing that's illegal? They don't know because it's not doing anything illegal. But there is a feed of news, a fire hose that is continuously creating content that is spreading lies, spreading propaganda, and it is having an effect. It is absolutely having an effect. That's why people are so angry right now. We've always been a divided country. There've always been people on the left and people on the right. And the way the system always worked was that you would get together and you would compromise and you would come up with something that worked for the majority of the people without hurting anybody. That was the hope anyway. Now it's become a left or right. You cannot agree with anything the other side says. Donald Trump could cure cancer and they'd be mad about it. Stephen A. Smith the other day was like, you know what? I am tired of the leftists. We've gone through multiple presidents from Ronald Reagan to today where, Iran is a problem. Iran is a problem. You got to do something about Iran. You got to do something about these mullahs. You got to do something about the Ayatollah. You got to do something about Iran. And then Donald Trump does it. And all of a sudden, all of these same people are like, whoa, 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 that's bad. Because they're hypocrites. But you watch the news feed. I don't want you to actually watch the videos, but just go look at the headlines and sample if you must on YouTube. The Midas Touch, the David Pakman Show, the Brian Tyler Cohen Show, there's a bunch. Go look at the titles of these videos and you will just see the insanity. For years, they've been telling us, Donald Trump can't make a coherent sentence. It's like, hey, listen to this guy talk for 45 minutes straight. The guy is completely coherent. So why are they lying about it? Because they know that there are some morons out there. Bruce Springsteen, how are you, buddy? Who will believe it? Who will get spun up by it? Who will get agitated by it? Who will get emotionally disturbed by it? And once you have somebody emotionally on your side, I did a show about bias early on. Emotional bias is more important than facts or figures, and that is completely playing out today when you watch these No Kings rallies, especially when somebody goes and asks questions about specifics on why they're there. Most people have no idea. And there was a YouTube video. This, I thought, crystallized so many things. There was a YouTube video, religious show, talking to the pastor, I forget his name, but the pastor, I guess that is the head of the church that Pete Hegseth belongs to. And they were talking about James Tallarico, the Democrat candidate down in Texas, and how he was portraying himself as a Christian. They had video clips of him saying things like, well, you know, just because you're pro-abortion doesn't mean you're anti-Christian or anti-Catholic. It's like, yeah, no, it kind of does. But they were showing how he was a wolf in sheep's clothing. And they made the comment that, well, you know, they would like for him to be stopped. And of course, they would like him to, you know, die and those ideas die and be reborn. And every left-wing YouTube channel took a very small portion of this out of context without the rest of the conversation. Of course, Pete Hegseth, pastor, he wants you to kill this guy. He wants you to kill Tallarico. That wasn't the reality. No, I understand how you could think it was by the clip that they brought and taking it out of context. But this was a show, a YouTube video show that had under 20,000 views. And on YouTube, under 20,000 views, you're pretty much invisible. Yet every one of the large left-wing propagandists pretty much had the story at the same time. Isn't that amazing? It's almost like somebody gave them the topic and said, you have to talk about this today. You think this is grassroots? This is one of the easiest ways to tell. And a story about somebody saying something on a YouTube video that nobody really watched, all of a sudden, all of these outlets are covering it. You have to understand you're being fed propaganda. And why do they continue to lie? Because a decent number of people fall for it. Why do Nigerian scams still go on? Why does your email box still get filled with things that you obviously go, well, this is phishing? Because people are still falling for it. People are stupid. Don't be one of the stupid people. Have a very skeptical side about anything that you can't verify the source. But it makes perfect sense when they're doing this, because the way people are getting their news now, they're going to go to YouTube. And they're going to be like, oh, wow, man, does this guy want Tellerico dead? And YouTube's going to give you 1,000 videos saying yes. I mean, you could just go and watch the original video, but what are the odds somebody's going to do that? It seems very little, very low. Sadly, again, we have a nation full of useful idiots who don't understand that they're being lied to, don't even consider it. And they go out and they get mad, like Bruce Springsteen, I'm going to write a song, Streets of Minneapolis. Yeah, Bruce, I didn't hear the part in that song where the woman tried to run the ICE agent over with her car, Brucey. Why did you forget that part, Brucey? Be skeptical, look for good places to get your information, and I hope one of them is the Random Thoughts podcast. Yeah, what a segue. I want to thank everybody for giving me their time, for listening. Next week, birthday celebration, April 8th. So, of course, you could do the $48 donation or $4.80. I will be 56. You have to think about that. So you can do that as well. Make any combination of numbers that makes sense to you, and then go over to Random Thoughts, randumthoughts.com/donate. All of the information is there. It's very much appreciated. On today's show, I have a few people to thank, which is a beautiful thing after we've had a few Mark Kodra-only shows. And, of course, he comes in. But first and foremost, Weenie Wawa came in with his monthly donation of $5.65. Thank you, Weenie Wawa. It is appreciated. And then coming in with $3.94, Cowboy Pools and Spas. They thought they were being smart. They thought they were out Mark Kodra-ing Mark Kodra. Because their note says, Cowboy Pools and Spas in Greensboro, North Carolina is today's executive producer. Sorry, Mark Kodra, but thanks for your support. Yeah, but Weenie Wawa Beach is so close. It's rolling the dice. It's gambling. We've done a few episodes about that. If you missed those over the last few weeks, very entertaining. Highly recommend you check those out. But anybody, if you're in the Greensboro, North Carolina area, be sure to check out Cowboy Pools and Spas. I worked for a pools and spas company for one summer and inhaled enough chlorine that I'm surprised I'm even alive or don't have lung problems. Then coming in with $3.93, one penny below that, anonymous, who says, just say I was born in Berwyn, Illinois, and raised in Florida. Your parents did you a solid if you got out of Berwyn and were raised in Florida. The only good thing in Berwyn is Fitzgerald's nightclub, and I haven't been there in years. They used to have a lot of good musical artists, and they had a nice sound system. I think they're still around, still doing business. In anonymous, I looked up the domain on your email because it was interesting, and it's Lego related. I'm not telling my wife because she'd be like, I need all the Lego. But thank you for your support of the Random Thoughts podcast. And Mark Kodra, yes, once again coming in with $3.33, like clockwork, it seems, every show. Thank you very much. Your support is appreciated. And Eric PP was streaming some sats. That was good because I haven't seen any sats on this show for a while. It used to be the number one way the show was being supported were Satoshis, but it's kind of fallen out of favor a bit. So you can go to, again, random, randumbthoughts.com/donate. All of the information is there. I think I put the Cash App thing there. $Ozzyball, OZZIEBALL. I'll double check. But you can use that as well. Just in the little note, put something that lets me know it is for Random Thoughts, if you would. It is appreciated, as is giving me your time. I know there's a lot of things you could be watching, a lot of things you could be listening to. I try to keep this show fun, a little bit entertaining, a little bit with the educational. If there's anything you would like to hear me talk about, feel free to reach out. I am on X, Darren O'Neill, DarrenOneill. Over on the Fediverse, Darren, DarrenOneill. Of course, at planetrage.social. And the old-fashioned email still works as well, Darren@randomthoughts.com. With all that said, I'm planning on doing a birthday show next week. Make it worth my while. Donate. 56th birthday, April 8th. I'm not getting older. I'm getting better, right? Until next time, I am Darren O'Neill. Thanks for listening.